You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
And of course, it's time for The Worldview. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Bongani.
Panic in Hawaii. I mean, it must have been such a frightening thought. I saw the messages on people's screens, people hiding and not knowing what to do and where to go. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, quite something, wasn't it? I think it would concentrate the mind, wouldn't it? Receiving a text alert telling you that a missile attack is about to take place, to seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill, it's bed. You can imagine a million people in Hawaii had the fear of God put into them, basically, that they were about to be struck by some kind of missile. People cowered and ran and abandoned cars on the highway, and there are stories of parents hugging their children in the bath and that sort of stuff. Well, it turns out that, of course, it was a false alarm. We're all still here. So that's the good news. There again, I mean, somebody doing a routine test hit the live alert button by mistake. So they may be carrying out an investigation, but frankly, if somebody just hit the wrong button, then that's surely the end of the investigation. It took 38 minutes to correct the mistake. Maybe that's one of the things they need to look at, because the sort of doomsday panic that was going on in Hawaii over the weekend, I mean, this is a laid-back paradise sort of a place. I mean, I suppose apart from anything else, they need to make sure this doesn't happen too often, because there's that fear, isn't there? It's like the old story of the boy who cried wolf, or in this case, the boy who cried ballistic missile. You can't do this too often, can you?
Well, I tell you what, you know, I think everybody in Hawaii deserves a free cocktail after that experience. There was panic in Turkey.
And our shirt, yes.
And there was panic in Turkey.
Yeah, we're on the trail of panic this morning, aren't we? Yeah, this is panic on a passenger jet. That's certainly what people say happened when it skidded off the runway at a Turkish airport and then plunged down the side of a cliff very close to going into the sea. If you see pictures of this, there's loads of pictures online. You do look at it from certain angles, you think, my word, that is really close. And yes, everyone was evacuated safely and there are no injuries reported at all, but on this muddy slope, this muddy bank, it was really close to disaster, you think. And if it had gone into the sea, that doesn't mean the end of it, of course, but still, that would have been much more difficult. Again, there's an investigation into how it happened, but I love the take of the airline concerned. This all happening at a Turkish airport that probably a lot of us haven't heard of, Trabzon. But according to Pegasus Airlines, the plane had a, quote, runway excursion incident, which is a bit like a wardrobe malfunction.
Doesn't really yeah. Doesn't it? You always love these phrases that become part of the lexicon after something like this happens. And of course, a major building firm facing financial ruin.
Yeah, this is a big deal in the UK, and maybe also a lesson around the world. But yeah, this firm, Carillion, apart from the fact they have 20,000 jobs at risk and could go into administration today, and they really need a bailout. I mean, we're not just talking a few million. We're talking hundreds of millions of pounds, possibly a billion or more. It's a major construction and infrastructure business. It's the second biggest in the UK. But here's the crucial bit. They have all sorts of construction and infrastructure contracts with the government. So for building hospitals, schools, prison and transport, and also for the maintenance of those things. So if they really do go belly up, then that puts a huge question mark against the whole government hospital, school, prison and transport scheme. And how can basically a government let a private company do all that without them having a stake in them? Normally, governments like to have a stake in companies they really rely on or own them and nationalize them, etc. So there's certainly a very large question mark there about what they're playing at, because Carillion is a really big player with the government.
Nationalize. Now, there's a word I haven't heard in a long time. Wink, wink. Now, London Mayor Sadiq Khan saying that Donald Trump finally got the message. He's not welcome in London.
Yes. And to which, not that it's the people of London who decided this, but to which actually the Foreign Secretary called the Mayor of London a puffed up popinjay. Immediately, it's a Boris Johnson quote when you have something like that. You have to then look up popinjay and go, what the hell? Yeah, I believe it's a talkative parrot. Anyway, Donald Trump has decided not to come. At first, it was all this stuff about he didn't want to come because the new U.S. embassy is something he doesn't agree with. He thinks the new American embassy is in the wrong place, et cetera, et cetera. And he blames Barack Obama for it. Well, in fact, it was George W. Bush who decided on the embassy move and so forth. So he slightly got his facts wrong there, which is obviously not like the American president.
Oh, no, not at all.
We learn from sources in the White House, the real reason he isn't coming is, quote, he hasn't been shown enough love by the British, in particular by the British government, which sounds just a tad needy. There again, post-Brexit in Britain, we may be more needy than the Donald. Never the twain shall meet at the moment, though.
All right, thanks, Adam. Let's all give the Donald a big hug there and some love. Not welcome in London. Now, on the Emirates Worldview, we've been asking you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. And today's question came from Esetu Mangotua. Esetu wanted to know, how did the names of wine grapes all become French? It's a very good question. I mean, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and even South Africa's own grape, the Pinotage, has a French name. So that's how you get your question on. Hashtag Emirates Worldview. To get the answer, we spoke to Michael Fridgen, founder and director of WineX, South Africa's premier wine show.
It's a really interesting question. And of course, the answer is they're not all French. But in South Africa, we use mainly the French nomenclature. And that's probably because a lot of our viticultural experience derives from the French. And also because the varieties we tend to use most of are the ones which established their reputation in France. So Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, etc., are the French names for those varieties, and we learnt about them from the French. There are a few exceptions, of course, and that happens when the grapes come to South Africa from another origin. So, for example, when we use an Italian grape like Nebbiolo or Sangiovese, we use the Italian name, and if we use a French grape, a Spanish grape like Tempranillo, we will use the Spanish name. Where there is an option, we tend to have gone for the French one, and that, I suppose, is simply because our experts looked to France for guidance.
Well, congratulations to Esetu Mangotua for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won R1,000 courtesy of Emirates. Now, Tseho, you're saying it's not strictly true that we call all wines with French names.
We've got the Pupsac.
No, but you've got to say it with a French accent. The Pupsac. The Pup de Sac. Pup de Sac. Congratulations to Esetu. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
If you have a burning question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
And for you, monsieur, something to tantalize the taste buds, like our specialty, les brochettes d'agneau.
I'm looking for something I haven't tried.
We also have canard fumé.
Tried it, with a nice red. Anything else?
Filet saumon.
Tried it on Emirates.
Excuse me for a second, monsieur.
Chef, he flies anyway.
Experience the finest cuisine and exclusive wines on Emirates First and Business Class. To book or find out more, visit emirates.com/ZA. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.